Spirit, and Lord, we pray that as we open our hearts and our minds, our lives towards you, Lord, that we would encounter your word, but more than your word, we would encounter the living word, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would help us. And Lord, I pray for surrender now of our own desire. God, as we look at some stuff, we need grace and mercy. Lord, as we look at healing and miracles, we need you because you're the only one who can do the miraculous and you are the healer. And God, I pray that we would, God, help us to see the right things this morning. Amen. I have a whole PowerPoint, which I'm not going to use this morning at all. I have 9 pages of notes, you'll be glad to hear. And I kind of wrestle with them through the week because when you come to healing and the miraculous, and we're in the controversial gifts, Paul writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12 says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same distribution of them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by that Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he, God, distributes them to each one just as he determines. We're getting into the tricky ones. There are class distinction between gifts. The Bible hasn't put it in. I haven't put them in. But they exist in Christian society. And word of knowledge, word of wisdom, a gentle prompting of the Spirit, an insight. Most people go, okay, we can see the benefits of that. Even the prophetic, foretelling, the gift of faith to believe even when it seems impossible. But then you get to these last 4 or 5 gifts, and there appears to be, in Christian circles, a division. And division's never good because division means we're no longer following a single vision. Division, by definition, is two visions. And the division comes in an understanding of these gifts. We stand in the Pentecostal division. This is a Pentecostal church. You maybe don't come from a Pentecostal background, but we're working in a Pentecostal church. I hold to the Pentecostal view because I believe it's the biblical view. But I understand those who don't hold the Pentecostal view also believe it's the biblical view. So I kind of wanted to look at that a little bit this morning. And even as I prepared it through the week and read through it and amended it yesterday and this morning again, I thought this is quite heavy and weighty, and I don't see how this is for the common good. And it's rubbish when you're the preacher and you're thinking, I'm struggling to see how this is for the common good, except it's information. Because I don't know how many of us get caught into a conversation about is healing and the miraculous for today, except with Christians. I haven't had any unsaved people ever come to me ever in my 44 years of life and say, does God heal? I want to tell you what the unsaved think. God heals because he's God. Does God do miracles? The world thinks yes because he's God. Yet we who know him as our Lord and our Savior, who are partakers of communion and know him, sometimes we are wondering, does he still heal? Has he changed his mandate? Is he going a different direction? So I've got a whole big rebuttal of the God doesn't heal. Except I feel this morning that God says there's a whole lot of hurting people who need healed. Well, what's your premise for that? I read, he stands at the door and knocks. He read, that he is the one who, though you're torn, wants to reunite you. Let me, I wrote it down. Though you're injured, he wants to heal you. He will come to us. Ian, he read of the glory of God who wants to restore and renew and bring together because of his greatness. If I miss that because I have prepared a sermon, I think that's an injustice to those who are hurting and broken. Let me tell you this, God still heals. He never stopped healing because he is God. 1 Corinthians, very simply, 12 here, lists 9 gifts. At no point does he go, they're the first A, B, C, D gifts. They're perpetual gifts. These last ones are only temporal gifts. It doesn't exist. It's not there. People are trying to put it in because of circumstance. Because of circumstance. Because I don't see it in my circumstance, God doesn't do it. I'm going to give you a heads up. You've got loads of homework if you want to pursue this. Go home and look at Paul, the greatest apostle in the Bible. And ask yourself the question, every time he prays for healing, are people healed? There's a whole list of things where he does. People are bringing handkerchiefs and all, and he goes, and the guy, Eutychus, falls out of the window, and he's healed. There's lots of these things. He delivers people. But then Paul has a repetitive prayer. 3 times he asks God to heal him. And each time God says, no, because grace is what I have for you. Paul gives a bit of wisdom to his young prodigy, Timothy. Do you know what he says? Do you know the way you have stomach problems? Timothy had irritable bowel syndrome before it was diagnosed. He says, take some wine for that, it'll stabilize it. Do you know when I read that, I'm thinking, why does Paul just not go slap his hands on him and say, Timothy, be healed? I'm going to tell you, this is a revelation. Not every time that Paul prayed for healing, people got healed. That doesn't sound like the Bible. That's only because you haven't read it. It is there. Part of the problem that we have is that people think that healing is us asking and God always going, I'm going to do it. In each of the gifts that we've looked at a number of reasons why God gives them and what they're for. Number one is they're always for the common good, to build up, to edify, or to encourage the church. Always, every single one of them, including healing. When we talked about discerning the gifts, we always talk about this. Who is it for? Is it so that I become known as someone, get him in, he'll heal you? Or anyone else? That will never be the case. In fact, what I've noticed in life is those people who seem to be used in ministry such as healing constantly point to Jesus because they're very aware of the fact that I can't do this. In these gifts of healing, there is no distinction between wisdom, knowledge, faith, and prophecy, whether forthtelling or foretelling. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, healing, and the miraculous. They are all given to the church in Corinth for the common good, and they are given to this church for the common good. For the edification, for the direction, and for the building up of the believers. He hasn't changed his mind. Well, why do we not see them? I believe because it is the power, and it always has been at the discretion of God. The discretion of God. He gives as he wills. He moves as he wants. The danger comes in and we form a theology around it whenever we say, well, why would God not want to heal that child? I don't know. I know that you would want to and I would want to. And we're broken vessels, so why would he not want to? I don't know, but I know that God wants to heal, and there are moments when he distributes his power in healing ways that we do not understand. But to say, I prayed for someone and they were not healed, therefore God no longer heals. We prayed for a miracle and it did not come, therefore God never does not do the miraculous. It's like saying, I went to KFC 3 weeks ago and they didn't have any chicken, therefore KFC doesn't do chicken. It's ludicrous. We have to stop taking our experience to be the only understanding of God. He gave us his word that we would know him and know him fully. He has given us his spirit who reveals his word to us. So what do? We present ourselves before God. And we surrender to him and we say, God, here I am. And I have a request. And I have a need. And I need you to move in my life. I wrote down three things. I wrote these down in the service this morning. They're not in the 9 pages of notes. Three things. Distance has appeared. This is a foretelling sermon. Distance has appeared. Yesterday we were sitting along the lock shore and there were runners out. And they're running this kind of 10 laps of the same track. And the winds blew in one direction. It was hilarious. Simply because I was sitting and drinking a coffee in a coffee shop, it was hilarious. And when they're going with the wind, they all look like Seb Coe. Big strides, propelled along, everything going well. Even the non-runners, you know the non-runners, short legs, not big stride. Good runners have big stride. That's why they're good runners. And then they go and they turn at the monument down there at White Abbey and they come back up and now they're running into the wind. And do you know what I discovered yesterday? Short legs are better for running into the wind than long legs because you take small steps. Wow. So it was a restriction going that way. But now it's a blessing coming this way. And there were two people, in particular, we sat there drinking coffee and having breakfast and watched these people go and God bless them. Lunatics, why would you do that? But God bless them. And you know, there were two people who started off together and what I noticed was a gap widening. After their third lap, they were probably 20 or 30 yards apart. By their last lap, they were probably 100 yards apart. There was a gap widening. And when we got out to go home, I saw the two people, because they were wearing very distinctive clothes, walking down together. And the gap had been shortened again. And they were walking down together, congratulating each other that they had completed the journey. A distance has appeared between you and God. He seems to be distant. You know he's there, he's within your eyesight, but over the last years, it's went from being yards to meters. And now he's still in your eyesight, but he's a long way off. And you've learned to run at a distance from God. At a distance, it's hard to hear. At a distance, it's hard to be encouraged. A distance is difficult. And I really felt this morning that God has been impressing upon my heart that just like that picture yesterday, he wants to bring you back, that you would walk together, be encouraged together, celebrate together, go through the hard winds together, and know the blessings of the easy winds together. He hasn't distanced himself from you. You've distanced yourself from him. The second thing that I wrote down is the appeared distance has caused separation and hurt. I'm going to be really honest. I don't know whether God said separation has caused hurt or being separate from him has caused hurt. But there is a separation in the dynamic between you and God, but possibly there's a separation between you and God and the earthly. And hurt has come. And hurt is weakening. And hurt is pulling you down. And hurt has lots of friends that come with it, fear and doubt and anxiety and worry. And you're saying, how will I ever be healed from this? How will I ever know union again? Because I've been separated. And we told you at the start, God stands and knocks. He said, I'm waiting and I'm willing and I want you to let me in. The third thing that I wrote, first thing, distance has appeared. Separation hurts or has come from hurt. Third thing, intimacy is now lost. And you love intimacy with God. And so do I. You know, it's wonderful when I hear people pray passionately. It's wonderful when I see people dance and shout. And when I run out of the grave. I love all that stuff. But for a closer walk with thee, rest in Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close with thee, let it be. Distance, separation, hurt, no intimacy with God. And this morning, the miracle of healing is required to restore. And that picture of those two men walking together, congratulating each other because they had finished the race, is the picture of godly intimacy. Who is encouraging you? Who is driving you on? Who is picking you up? Who's not letting you stop? Who is the lifter of your head? Who is restoring your soul? Who is blessing you? And I want to say that this is God not beaten down. This is God in love saying, come to. Come to me. Come to me. Why has distance appeared? What caused the separation? And can intimacy ever be brought back together again? Yes. But you must deal with the cause of the separation. I can't deal with it. It's bigger than me. I can't deal with it. It's out of my control. So what can I do? What can I do? You can come to God just as you are this morning. And you can pursue him. Pursuit means surrender. You don't have to have a meltdown, by the way. But you need to have an open up. God, here I am. And you know this guy's reading my mail this morning. You're distant. You know, God, the separation that I feel and the hurt that has come from that separation. And Lord, I so desire to hear you, to feel you and to know you. We're talking about spiritual gifts. I would go for just any kind of prompting. But God, life has separated me from you. What do I do? You call upon him. You call upon his name. You open the door and you come in repentance. And you invite him to come in. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And he distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. And you're here this morning because the same God is at work. And I'm here this morning because the same God is at work. And he is at work to rebuild. He's at work to bring union and comfort. He's at work to break some stuff. But don't fear. Because God breaks it in love. God's love is so powerful. What is it we used to sing? It's so high you can't. And it's so low you can't. So wide. Full wonderful love. You know what? God's love is so powerful it can be mistaken as almost power and rage. It's so powerful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this morning, God wants to heal. So I will revisit the notes. If you want the notes, you can get the notes. They were okay. But I want to be honest with God. Does God want your foot to grow back this morning? I don't know if he does, but does God want to heal your heart? Yes, he definitely does. Is God interested in taking your disease away? Yes, he is. Is he going to do it this morning? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, he wants to close the separation gap. Does he want to heal your heart? Always. How will he do it? Not in force, but in love. Because perfect love drives out all fear. Close our eyes and let's bow our heads. I feel that this is a morning for response. And I am very much going on my feeling after I told you not to go on yours. So I may not have got this right. But we fall upon him. But this morning, God offers. Freely he gives and freely we receive. And in that place of separation, that place of distance that has appeared, and then that place of lost intimacy, God presents his Holy Spirit. And he said, I have not left you as an orphan, but I have come to you. And I will comfort you, and I will bring you peace, and I will strengthen you. I may not change your circumstance or your surroundings today, but I can change you in them. And it is a place of response. And the response is simple, whether you lift your hands or lift your voice or lift your heart. It is a place of saying, okay, God, draw near to me that I may draw near to you. And in the obstacles, God, that have caused us to become distant and separate, and where intimacy has been broken. God, I thank you that I've never failed to see you, that you're always there. But I want to feel you. I want to know you, and I want to know you more. God, it cannot be just dependent on what I have once experienced, but what I need is what I will experience today. God, I pray for this closer walk with you. So Lord, this morning I confess my desires and my fears and my anger and my lusts, my rage, my selfishness, my agenda. God, I lay them down before you. God, and this morning I also lay down my regrets and my hurts. And those unresolved, unforgiven circumstances that I've chosen to hold on to because I was so wronged. And God, I come to you on this morning when we talk about healing and the miraculous. And I ask that you would heal me of a broken heart, of a wounded spirit, of an unforgiving soul. I hear you clearly knocking at the door of my life, saying, let me come back in, that I may be intimate, that I may walk and talk and encourage you. And this morning, Lord, I realize I got to put the stuff in my hands down to open that door. But we choose to do it. I choose to do it. Help me, Lord, in those places of failure. Help me in those places of sin. Help me in those places of wrong thinking and separation. And God, renew you. Re-strengthen me. Heal us, Lord. Amen. I don't know where you are. But I know when God speaks in a clear way throughout a service or throughout a time together, the worst thing we can do is to think it doesn't matter. Is there some burden you've carried for too long? Let him come and take it. I don't need to bring you here, much as I would want to lay my hands on you to deliver you from something, because it's not that kind of service. But I feel the love and the gentleness of God coming and saying, I'm here. Why are you running on your own? I'm here. Why are you trying to get over this mountain by yourself? I'm here. And you know, I'm the one who comforts and who restores and who heals and who strengthens, who forgives, who moves. I'm the one who makes ways. Why are you trying to make a way for yourself? Let me make the way. How does it happen, God? Stop and draw close to me. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. If you get caught in a conversation with someone who wants to tell you that healing the miraculous doesn't happen anymore, send them to see me. There you go. That saves you the sermon. It's there. And I want to tell you, God is moving. And he is interested in you. And he says, enough, guys.
Praise you, Lord.
Do you know what? He won't give up. It's not in his character. Don't be surprised this week if in your work or in your conversation or as you walk, you go, it sounds what he said on Sunday. Because it's not me, it's God pushing in your place. And he's saying, this is a time, because I don't want you to go on this way. I don't want you to limp and labor. I don't want you to be caught up in the lusts of life. I don't want you to be lost. They all were L's, they're all together. I want you to trust, to walk, and to be with me. God, will you bless us this morning? Will you strengthen us and will you help us? And we thank you that your very presence is here. And God, I pray for your help in all that we do. Keep us safe and bring us tonight, amen. Today we're sharing the gospel message. Come along and bring a friend, and God will move in you. If you want to see me, you can come and see me. Otherwise, good morning. God bless you.